to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Speaking on the subject of the truth shall make you free. As you're turning there, let me say again to the mothers, I hope you've had a good day. I hope it's been an encouraging and blessed day. And I hope if your mother was alive that you were an encouragement and a blessing to her today. And somehow or another you made it your task to get a hold of her. I mentioned this morning my mother's been home with the Lord now for some years. And that's all right. I look forward to seeing her one day. But we're thankful for a good day. And appreciate the mothers. And I certainly enjoyed the morning service, just seeing the faces of the moms and the recognition that they deserved. And always fond and sweet memories of mother. So I hope you had a good day. I told Reese a while ago that it's going to be over at midnight, though. I told her the Jewish calendar said 6 o'clock. But she wouldn't buy that, so she's got between now and midnight. And anyway, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's take a moment and pray, then we'll read verses 1 through 32 of John chapter 8. Our Father, I praise you tonight for your marvelous grace. And Father, I'm thankful tonight that we have the Word of God that we can feast upon tonight. I pray that you'll help me to look into this passage and preach it like it ought to be preached. Help folks to hear it and to receive it as it ought to be received. And in all that's said and done, I pray that Jesus Christ our Lord be honored and glorified. For I do pray in His precious name. Amen. Bear with me to read now for several verses, but I want to put all of this together in just a few moments. See, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple. And all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, and as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. They which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sin. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then the Jews Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself because he saith, Whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we'll notice that this was quite a continuing discussion in the temple on this particular occasion after such a scene as had been presented. Now, the woman that was brought into the presence of the Lord is really her sin was not the issue. The issue was they wanted to ensnare the Lord Jesus Christ in his words. They wanted to find some contradiction in him. If they had been really determined to do what they ought to do, there would have also been a man brought, and both would have been under the sentence of death. You look back into the Old Testament. So their heart was not right. They were not interested necessarily in what was actually being presented. They were more interested in what he would say, that they might catch him in his words. And you'll notice that the Lord had a way of handling the situation. Then he goes on to into quite a discussion and challenging them with the thought that he in particular was one that had been promised and that they really needed to come to grips with this issue and know him. And finally, in the end of this conversation, there were many that believed on him, and he then challenged them that if they would continue in his word, they'd certainly indeed be his disciples. And he said to them, You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I want to keep that in mind as we look at this situation, as we look into this particular text, and certainly reach out into other areas of the Word of God tonight. But it is the truth that will set free tonight. It is not error that will set free. There are folks tragically tonight that are ensnared in some particular doctrine or dogma. They are persuaded that what they have believed is right because they have just believed it for years as far as an organization is concerned. But they've not been set free. They're still troubled with the certainty of sin in their lives, and they don't have any real peace in their heart and in their life. It is the truth that sets free, and it was the truth that set this woman free in our text tonight, and ultimately it was the truth that set several folks free in the temple that were listening to the lecture, the discussion, the preaching, the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in this text that the Lord silences the accusers, and consequently they then in turn are the accused. And they have to deal with the issues of their own sin in their own lives, and the woman, of course, is set free. It's a joy to look into the Word of God and to see the Lord as he deals with this. Our Lord stooped down and he wrote on the ground. There's always the issue of what he wrote. Some seem to think that he isolated certain particular sins in the lives of those that had brought this woman. I personally believe that he wrote the law. The law does bring conviction. Certainly, what is sin is the transgression of the law. Whenever God's law is presented, it begins to strike our hearts and to begin to convict us, even as it did in their own conscience. For some of us, it doesn't take very long as we look into even the basic Ten Commandments, and we're stricken in our hearts. One very early verse in the law, or the presentation of the law, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Most of us tonight would have to confess that we had something in our lives that we cherish far more than God. We go a little farther, and he said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And would tonight that we had not become blasphemers in our lives, that we never learned to use those words as we learned them in our early days. The tragedy of it is that they're hard to forget sometimes. And yet it does convict us in our hearts and in our conscience as the law is presented. And those things that were written there on the ground began to speak to those men that had brought this woman into the presence of the Lord, determined to find an issue against the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he was a merciful one. They said, surely in their hearts, we'll be able to catch him in his words. But the word caught them in their consciences, and they began to walk away. They began at the eldest, and some that were there held on for a little while, as they stood in their own self-righteousness. But it's not long until the law will speak to the most religious heart. Remember, the man Paul gave such testimony. As he said of himself before he was saved by the grace of God, he lived the life of a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Touching the righteousness of the law, he was blameless. That meant that he was dedicated to those things, and when it said he was blameless as far as the law is concerned, that simply meant that he was dedicated to the various feast days, the offerings that were required, and he did not fail to keep those things. But yet, he himself would say later on that by the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. And there came a time in this man, Saul of Tarsus' life, we know him now as the Apostle Paul. And he said that the law spoke to his heart one day, "Thou shalt not covet." And he said, "What I thought to be unto life, I found to be unto death. And when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." And in this setting that is before us, the woman that is accused certainly was guilty of the breaking of the law. That's a given. We'll speak a little bit about that in a moment. And as we try to present to you the precious grace of God. But these others, thinking that they certainly had a cause and they had a case to present, found out that that same law that condemned her also condemned them. Even as the Apostle Paul, with high regard and real pedigree, will have to say that when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The accusers then are silenced, and when it's all said and done, there's one that is standing there. Our Lord had stooped again on the ground. He wrote twice. I think probably that he wrote the law the first time, as folks then were convicted in their own consciences. He then wrote again the second time on the ground, and I am persuaded it must have been something along this line: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It could have been what he would have Paul to write later in the book of Ephesians: "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But I am persuaded that there was hope given. And as our Lord then turned to the woman and said, "Where are those thine accusers? Has no man accused you?" And she said, "No man, Lord." She understood who he was and that he had every right to condemn her. But he said in marvelous grace, neither do I condemn thee. And likely in our lives tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, the happiest moment in your life was when the Spirit of God spoke to your heart and said to you, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." You were set free like this woman was. So we see then the Lord, after that particular encounter, will begin to instruct them about Himself and some things that we want to see. The first thing I want us to think about as we think on the subject of the truth shall make you free, I want to think about for a few moments the truth about Jesus Christ, about who He is. One thing that certainly stands out is that He is the light of the world. Now, John, when he wrote the Gospels, said to us that this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John the Baptist saw our Lord Jesus Christ and spoke of Him as God's Lamb. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." We need to see tonight that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Now, again, I could present to you that there are a lot of religions in this world tonight. There are a lot of so-called religious leaders tonight that claim to be the source of light. But I want you to know that there is one source of light tonight, and that's Jesus Christ. If any man ever finds the light, understands his condition, and is saved by the grace of God, it'll be because of Jesus Christ. It'll not be because he's taken up some particular dogma or doctrine. I never want to leave the impression, even that the Baptist Church collectively or this Baptist Church could save you. I hope I'm faithful to the Word of God always to present Jesus Christ. But I want you to know tonight the truth is that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and if folks have any hope at all, they'll have to find it in Him. There is no other source of light tonight. I'm not persuaded that there's good in all religion, because I believe religion blinds, it kills, it produces death, unless Jesus Christ, the light, is presented. And I say to you tonight that this is the truth that will set you free. I had folks to tell me that, well, my religion is as good as yours. And if I was looking at my religion, yours would be as good as mine. But I want you to know that I found the truth in Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, and I have something that is of infinite value tonight, because I have seen the very precious salvation of God in and through Jesus Christ, the Lord. So the truth about Jesus Christ that was set free is that He is the light of the world. Another thing He said about Himself in our text tonight is that I'm from above. Now, we need to settle this issue in our minds tonight. You'll never find peace, and never be at peace nor be content in your life unless you know that Jesus Christ is from above. When the Lord would speak to Nicodemus in the third chapter of the Gospel that we read from tonight, He points out that there is one that was not brought down, but He came down. And that this one who came down must also be lifted up. He is from above tonight. The message we preached to you this morning on the mother that God chose for His Son. She was chosen in particular so that there would not be any misgivings about Jesus Christ. The world wants to find fault with Him. They want to bring Him to the level of a man. But I want you to know that it is as the Bible said. The virgin was overshadowed by the Spirit of God, and she conceived in that virgin womb the Son of God. He is from above, and we need that in our hearts and our minds tonight. Oftentimes the issue is raised about the importance of the virgin birth. I want you to know that it is of the utmost importance. We need to understand that God Himself, as He promised, out of the ages of eternity past, John said it like this, in the beginning was the Word, before there was ever a creation. And that's the beginning that's talked about. There was no beginning with God. But before that, the beginning, as we know a beginning from our vantage point, the Word existed. And the Bible said then that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And if you don't believe that, you'll never be set free. You'll never be at peace, because this is the truth that sets free. I've had folks to raise issue about the virgin birth, about the deity of Christ, and they say it's impossible. It's a biological impossibility. And I would agree with them, except but with God. All things are possible tonight. And I want you to know that the truth that will set you free is tonight that we understand that Jesus Christ is more than a man. The temple guard that was sent to take the Lord Jesus Christ came back empty-handed, and they said, "Never man spake like this man." There never was one like him before. There'll never be another like him after. And I'm thankful to be identified with him tonight. But he is from above. And that's an issue that needs to be settled in our hearts and our minds tonight, that he is not only the Son of God, but God the Son. The eternal Word made flesh tonight. That is truth that will set free. The third thing I want us to see about him, and it's found in our text, he went about pleasing the Father. He does always those things that please the Father. And that's truth tonight. When every other son of Adam or daughter of Adam, in every generation down to the good day in which we live, were evaluated, it had to be said that they sinned and come short of the glory of God. But our Lord Jesus Christ, as the perfect man, you see, he took the role of a man. He kept his place. He identified himself with the term, Son of Man. He loved that term. And oftentimes I'm stricken in my heart and wonder why he would love that term so, but he did, and he does, because he identifies with us. But here is a man that certainly took the place of man and the role of man. Understand that he did not stop at the level of the angels. The writer of Hebrews said he was made a little lower than the angels. He took upon him the seed of Abraham. In other words, he became a man. And as a man, he then walked in this world pleasing before the Father. I do always those things that please him. Could not be said of another, but it can be said of him, and it was said of him. And I would remind you just of the testimony of those that were around our Lord Jesus Christ prior to and during his crucifixion. Pilate's wife came to Pilate and said to him, and it was good advice, "Don't have anything to do with this matter that deals with this just man." The Roman soldier said, "Truly this is a righteous man, this is the Son of God." The father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We have that as baptism at the Transfiguration. He even added a statement with it, "Hear ye him." And that's good advice tonight to heed the Lord Jesus Christ as we look at him. He certainly, as a man, did always those things that please the Father. In our text tonight, he said, "The truth is that I must be lifted up. The Son of Man must be lifted up." There was an artist that drew the painting, a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not very crazy about the paintings, because I don't think any of them would do him justice. But at least this man had a right thought in mind. He pictured him as a young man in the carpenter shop, as he straightened up from his work and stretched out his arms. And the artist drew the cross as it was reflected in his shadow behind him on the wall. Well, I want you to know that there was the necessity of the cross. It could not be circumvented. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the great agony, said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The only explanation for that is to, in your mind's eye, put yourself in the place of one who is absolutely sinless and totally perfect, with no flaw, no question of his integrity. And looming before him is the presentation that upon him will be laid the sins of the world. And I, if I be lifted up, he said, will draw all men unto me. To Nicodemus, he said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He went on to say, John did, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He must be lifted up. And then tonight, as we think about the truth that sets free, we've seen he is the light of the world. He is from above. He did always those things that pleased the Father. He must be lifted up or nailed to the cross. Tonight he must be believed in. In our text, two times the Lord makes reference to this fact, and except they believe that he is the one, they understand who he is, they embrace him, you'll die in your sin. I know the cry from many tonight be the less sounds very narrow. It is narrow. Our Lord himself said, straight's the gate and narrow's the way. And few there'll be that find it. Because broad is the gate. Or wide is the gate, broad is the way. That leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. It's not difficult tonight to find the way of destruction. All we do is have to just go on our way and persist in our sin. And we're there. But as we see this straight gate, it is certainly indicative of the fact that it is singularly in Jesus Christ. We must then embrace him and we must believe in him. Again, in our text, the Lord said to them, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sin. They'll go on to make an argument about being descendants of Abraham. As we pursue this subject on through the Gospel of John, and yet he'll point out that if they were sons of Abraham, as they claim, seed of Abraham, they would have recognized him and not desired to put him to death because that was not Abraham's life. Abraham was a man of faith, and that's another message, another story. But I present to you again the fact that he must be believed in tonight. And that's the truth, and that's the truth. That sets free. The second thing I want to present to you about truth is that his word does bring conviction. He silently wrote on the ground, and he challenged those with the question of sin that were there and said, if any here without sin, let him, that is without sin, cast the first stone. Not a man stepped forward and picked up a stone. His word brought conviction. And the truth is that when the Word of God is preached tonight, is presented tonight, if you have the opportunity, the privilege just to witness to that singular soul, that one that is isolated somewhere that you have the privilege of preaching the gospel to alone or telling the truth about Jesus Christ to tonight, the Word will bring conviction. God honors His Word. It brings conviction. And they went out from the eldest to the youngest, and the truth is that the word will bring conviction tonight. Third thought I want to present tonight in our message, and the thought, the truth will make you free, is that Jesus Christ will deliver. Jesus Christ will deliver. In our text tonight, there's no question about the woman's guilt. That's a given. That was settled. We don't want to have to belabor the point, but she was guilty. They had brought the charge and it was provable. Well, the truth of the matter is that really there's no question about our guilt tonight. David gave it to us in the Psalms in a couple of places about how that God looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there were any that did seek after God. He said, there's none, no, not one. Paul, I believe, as he gave it to us in the book of Romans chapter 3, had in mind what David had already said. He said, there's none righteous, no, not one. And then he summed up the picture for us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that there'll not be any misunderstanding about sin tonight, I enjoy the picture that Paul gave. The word sin has that connotation in that text that you've missed the mark. And as I think about missing the mark, there's an individual that comes to my mind. A man that was a good friend to me. I really wanted to do something for him. I wanted him to know the truth about Jesus Christ. And I would talk to this man. Because we were on the same job and we worked in the same area, I could have opportunity to speak to him. And I'd present to him the fact that all were sinners and guilty before God. And he'd look at me with some hope in his eyes that I would agree with him. But I'm not as bad as some are. But I have to tell you, that's true. But you're not good enough. This woman was not good enough. You and I are not good enough. The indictment of the Word of God is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You missed the mark. In case you might not understand that, let me go back to my picture again for a moment of missing the mark. If you were to, in the day of Paul, as the Roman soldiers would have had their men in the service that would have been the archers or the men that would shoot at a mark, you might set the target. You might miss it only slightly. You might miss it again with a little bit of distance, and another might miss it to a great degree. Extent. The fact is that all miss the mark. The degree is the only thing that varies. You might be here tonight with some hope in your heart that some measure of righteousness that you have attained will set you free. It will not. You've missed the mark. Now the degree may vary, and you ought to be thankful tonight that you're not down on Quincy Street spending a night in the mission. You've come out of a day of drunkenness and going into a night, if you can find it, of drunkenness. You ought to be thankful that you're not in that particular condition today. You ought to be thankful tonight that you're not somewhere in a dirty building that's been abandoned and you're surrounded by needles of those that you've used and others have used. But don't think that you have escaped, because that's not your life tonight, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have missed the mark. The degree varies, but the fact's the same. There were many that accused this woman, but they in turn went away. And the only one who could have condemned set free. Remember, our premise is that Jesus will deliver. He is the Lord. He had every right to pronounce judgment upon this woman. He could have said, stone her, because that's what the law said. But thank God, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ tonight. And He will deliver. And I want to say that He'll deliver to the uttermost all that will come unto God by Him, because He lives to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I want you to know that He that hath begun the good work in you tonight will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And I can say along with the Apostle Paul, and I hope you can too, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Jesus Christ can and will set free. There's just a simple conclusion that we can draw from our look in the passage that we've read tonight. You're guilty, and Jesus will save. The truth is that all are guilty. But the truth is that Jesus Christ will save today. You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's stand.